This is Prop Points on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Prop Points. Jeff Erickson here with Nick Whalen. We are with RotoWire.com. Got a big show for you today. NBA-centric, of course. Big game three tonight in the Garden. Going to be a lot of hype. A lot of people excited about this game. I'm excited about this game. Nick's excited about this game. Alex Barutha is going to join us later on. He's excited about this game. We're going to do play it or pass it with NBA props. We'll finish with our best bets today. We'll talk some baseball as well. Mix that in there, including my baseball best bets. Also, as always, if you're not watching live or you want to listen to this anywhere you go, you can get the Prop Points podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcast. Nick, let's jump into it. Let's talk about the NBA Finals. What adjustments do the Spurs need to make being down 2-0?
That's a big question, right? It's not shocking to me that the New York Knicks were able to take at least one game in San Antonio, but I think to be leading this series 2-0, heading back to MSG tonight feels like a dream scenario. I think there's actually a reasonable amount of pressure now on the Knicks to keep this up. They've won 13 games in a row. I thought in a lot of ways stole a win in game two. And look, what scares me a little bit, Jeff, if I'm the San Antonio Spurs, knowing that I absolutely have to win this game in what is going to be an insane environment at Madison Square Garden, is that it's not like the New York Knicks have played at the same level that they did against the Cavaliers or in round two against the Philadelphia 76ers or to finish out round one against Atlanta. I mean, the Knicks were playing at a level that we really hadn't even seen before on both ends heading into the finals, but they're shooting like 41% as a team. You know, they shot it better from three in game two, but they haven't had, you know, some sort of otherworldly performance. You know, I think if you had told the Spurs, hey, Jalen Brunson through two games is going to take 56 shots. He's going to have a 39% usage rate and he's going to be shooting 34% from the field, you would say there is no chance that the New York Knicks have won both of those games. You would feel pretty good about being up 2-0, I think, if you're San Antonio. So, yeah, there are adjustments that the Spurs can make. Victor Wembanyama has to be better. Mitch Johnson, I think, has to figure out his guard rotation and how long of a leash Stephon Castle specifically is going to have. But again, what scares me is that the New York Knicks aren't coming back home and feeling like, oh man, we played as well as we could in games one and two. I think the Knicks look at how they've played so far and think, yeah, we could play a lot better in front of our home crowd.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they've gotten nothing offensively from Josh Hart so far. You know, is in foul trouble. They've had some. You know, Brunson's not shooting especially well, but he's hitting well in clutch moments. But it's not the same thing as hitting his shots all the way together there. But yeah, there's an upside for a better Knicks performance still. Clearly, there's an upside for the Spurs as well. We were talking about this earlier over at SiriusXM Fantasy. You think they need to get Harper involved more in the fourth quarter? You know, the thing is, they need somebody else to step up. Keldon Johnson's done very little. Their bench has done very little besides Harper. And just they need some more outlets. They need offensively. They need more people stepping up.
They do. And I think, you know, so much of the attention and the credit for this run rightfully goes to Victor Wembanyama. So much of the focus and the attention goes to Jalen Brunson on the other side. But both of these teams have been a little bit more sum of the parts, I think, throughout these playoffs. You know, obviously, they're led by those two all-NBA caliber players. But, you know, the reason that the Knicks are on this run is not because Jalen Brunson is going out and scoring 35 a game. It's because Karl-Anthony Towns and Mikal Bridges and OG Anunoby and Josh Hart are stepping up every single night. And you could say the same for San Antonio. Champagne had some huge games in the West Finals. Dylan Harper, of course, has been near the top of that list. Castle, I thought, was good for the most part, you know, throughout this run, has not been good in these first two finals games. But, you know, I think it's becoming clear with the Spurs that, you know, they have a lot of guys. They have a lot of really good secondary options. Do they have that true number two? Like, all right, this is the guy that could go out. Wemby, he can get us 25 to 30. Who can get us 20 to 25? Maybe that's De'Aaron Fox. You know, I thought he looked a lot better in game two, but still, you know, the usage rate is sitting in the low 20s right now. You know, they kind of need that whole collective to play better. And it's a really difficult equation, I think, right now for Mitch Johnson. I think it's easy to say, yeah, we need more Dylan Harper. And we saw more Dylan Harper in game two after he played only 3 minutes in the fourth quarter in game one. But who do you take off the court? You know, it's like you really value the shooting of Champagne. You value the shooting and the defense of Devin Vassell. You're obviously not pulling Wembanyama off the court, and you know, you kind of value the steadiness, the veteran presence of De'Aaron Fox. So I think one angle to look at tonight would be fading Stephon Castle. I think he will be on a shorter leash, you know, especially with as well as Harper has continued to play. But even as you get further down, as you alluded to, Jeff, you know, the Keldon Johnsons of the world, they're being outplayed right now by the Knicks bench players. Landry Shamet is on an otherworldly run from beyond the arc. Jose Alvarado has had some really, really impactful stretches already in this series. We're yet to have the Miles McBride game. That could come later tonight. And look, I think Mitchell Robinson has been really, really good for the Knicks. I know he hasn't had, you know, a crazy rebounding game or anything like that yet, but if you just watch the 14, 15 minutes when Mitchell Robinson is out there, how hard the Spurs have to work to prevent him from getting every single rebound. They're doing a decent job of limiting him, but the amount of effort and energy they have to expend just to keep Mitchell Robinson off the glass, there have been no easy rebounds in this series for the Spurs.
Yeah, I agree. And part of that too is like the pace that, you know, we're not getting as many possessions as you might think, you know, 105, 104 in the last game there. Only, I was like, okay, well, they only had 44 rebounds. Well, Spurs only had 42. I mean, there just weren't that many to grab it as far as that goes, like from a, like a wide statistical sort of input there. All around though. Yeah. I wanted to ask you, you know, the Knicks, they haven't made it to the finals anytime recently, but they've been through the wars the last 3 years with this core of a team. They've had a lot of playoff scars. The Spurs are relatively less tested. How much of that do you think matters in this?
Yeah, stuff like that, I usually cast aside and say, well, you know, we're pulling from a sample that's usually, you know, 3, 4, 5 years in the past. And, you know, a lot of these guys weren't even a part of that sample. But when you have a team like the Knicks that have basically kept this same core together now for a few years, and obviously Towns is the relatively new addition, but, you know, I think it's fair to even look at Hart, Bridges, and Brunson and say these guys went through the battles at the college level, right? I mean, there is clearly a continuity advantage right now for the Knicks. And I think we're seeing that show through in the clutch minutes. You know, again, the Knicks, I thought, were outright bad offensively for most of the second half in game two. But when they absolutely needed to get stops, when they absolutely needed to get buckets, they were able to do it. And the Spurs were not. Now, I do think it's also worth noting that if Victor Wembanyama knocks down a pretty open jumper from the mid-range and wins that game in game two, we are talking about a completely different narrative heading into tonight. So the, you know, games are decided on the margins. But yeah, I think that is an advantage for the New York Knicks. And one thing I will be watching tonight, Jeff, is can the Knicks finally get off to a good start? You know, San Antonio, and this dates back to the Western Conference Finals, they were blitzing the Thunder early in game six and game seven. They blitzed the Knicks early in both of these two games so far. You know, the Knicks are minus 17 in the first quarter through two games. The Spurs led by seven. They led by 13 after the first quarter in the final two games of the West Finals. So obviously against OKC, they were able to hang on to those leads. They were able to win those games, but they've gotten off to good starts. They put themselves in these double digit advantages and they've blown them now in two straight games.
Yeah, that's right. That's absolutely right that they've been able to have that massive, like in game one, it was the massive third quarter where they turned a 14-point deficit into a lead by the end of the quarter. They've had these big runs. The other thing I think it's also noteworthy, too, is that, you know, you mentioned Wemby. He had two good looks at the end of the game. He had that turnover on the pass where, you know, just that might have just been an, you know, communication issue. They're knowing, hey, he's open on that. You know, he wasn't looking for the pass. That doesn't happen. We might have a completely different narrative about this series. So a lot of coulda, shoulda, wouldas, but here, this is the game that has happened though. So we'll analyze it from that. All right. Want to bet smarter? Then you need RotoWire. Our brand new smart money tool shows you exactly where the sharp action is moving, so you're always on the right side of the line, and that's just the start. RotoWire's award-winning staff delivers rankings, projections, real-time injury updates, and data-driven insights across every sport, every day. Whether you're handicapping games, crushing your fantasy league, or both, RotoWire has you covered. Head to rotowire.com right now and use promo code VSIN at checkout for 15% off any RotoWire product. That's rotowire.com, promo code VSIN. A couple other headlines from other sports. Jacoby Brissett plans to return to the Cardinals minicamp this week. He held out for most of the offseason program, trying to get a reworked contract. I've been adding Brissett super late in best ball drafts, Nick, just because I think he's going to start most of the year. I know we saw some Carson Beck hype at one of the rookie mini camps and all that, but I don't think Beck's going to play a whole lot this season. And I like the players that Brissett has to work with in Harrison, with obviously at tight end. They've got one of the elite tight ends. They added Love at running back there. They've got some core fantasy players that could be interesting. They're probably going to be in a bunch of shootouts as well.
Yeah, I do think Arizona is a really interesting inflection point team. You know, obviously, the quarterback kind of feels like the weak link, but for fantasy purposes, Jacoby Brissett was extremely productive for us down the stretch, yeah, especially as it pertains to both Trey McBride and Michael Wilson. You know, it feels like Marvin Harrison Jr. is still kind of a black box in that offense. But yeah, I don't think they're Dolphins bad by any means. I think we kind of talk about those teams right in conjunction pretty often. And Arizona's invested a ton on this defense over the last couple of years. They had some injuries last season that I think sapped some of the momentum on that end of the ball. But I think this team could be a little bit better than we expect. I think it could be a much more productive fantasy offense, but yeah, they have to figure out the Brissett thing. He basically is saying, like, look, I was brought in to be a backup. Now I'm the starter. I want to be paid like a starter. It remains to be seen if the Cardinals will be willing to do that. They did bring in Gardner Minshew this offseason. I think we could see Carson Beck, though, a decent amount toward the end of the year, Jeff. Like, if I gave you over under 10 and a half starts for Jacoby Brissett, where do you go on that?
That's a very good number. I would say under, because their team counts. They might not even be that bad, but their win total might be. You know, they're projecting, you know, DraftKings win total has them at 3.5 wins, is their line on at the DraftKings sportsbook right now. -140 to the over. So for what it's worth, it's heavily bet on the over. But they're in a nasty division that just got tougher with Myles Garrett joining the Rams. So I mean, you look at that, I can see it that way. But at the same time, and they probably want to justify that Beck pick. So I'll take the under on the 10.5 games. Now that I think about that, there, I think you're right. You probably will see Beck, and that does probably hurt our Harrison shares, our, you know, McBride shares, and all that as well. We're going to do play it or pass it, NBA style, coming up next. This is Prop Points.
So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools, but what they don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you'll get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
You're watching Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back to Prop Points here on VSiN. Jeff Erickson and Nick Whalen here from rotowire.com. Welcome to those of you listening on SiriusXM channel 158, and of course those of you streaming with us on YouTube TV. It's time for one of our favorite segments. We call it Play It or Pass It.
Smart play or stay away. This is Play It or Pass It.
It's going to be a Game 3 centric Play It or Pass It today, obviously. Knicks versus Spurs, -2.5 is the line we're using right now. It's going all over the place. We were talking about that during the break. Sometimes it's 1.5, sometimes it's 2.5. I'm making you do it at 2.5 via the DraftKings Sportsbook. Nick, Play It or Pass It.
Well, we know that overwhelmingly over the last decade plus, and including the first two games of these finals, the team that wins tends to cover. So, look, if you like the Knicks tonight, I think you grab them with the 2.5. If you like the Spurs, I think you grab them on the money line. It's really tough for me to have a strong play here. I lean toward the Knicks, though. I really do, partially because of what we talked about to begin the show, which is, yes, San Antonio could play better, but I also think the Knicks can play better at home. You look at what someone like Landry Shamet is doing, feels a little bit unsustainable. He's like 21 of his last 31 from beyond the arc. But when you dig in on some of the advanced numbers, some of the shots that the Knicks are getting, they're getting better shots. They're generating more open looks. They're knocking down more of their open looks. And I feel like they're playing with a much higher level of confidence. They can go 8 or 9 deep with guys who they feel like they need to find minutes for every single night. Like it's almost difficult, I think, for Mike Brown to be like, man, I got to get Jose Alvarado out there, but who do I take off the court? Because seemingly everybody is dialed in right now. Whereas the Spurs, you know, it feels like they're kind of searching for who those contributors are going to be off the bench. So look, I know there's a lot of a lot of hullabaloo, if you will, about what the environment is going to be in and outside of the arena tonight. Either way, it's still going to be a huge advantage for the New York Knicks, who had plenty of fans all the way down in San Antonio in games 1 and 2. That place is going to be rocking. I think the Knicks feed off that. And I do think we finally see the Knicks not put themselves in a double-digit hole in the first half, which could kind of completely change the complexion of how this game plays out. So, again, no strong read for me on the side. You could certainly see this going either way, but I think the Knicks could push this to 3-0.
All right. I want to see this go long. I wanted to see this be a series, but I have that same sense of inevitability here as well. OG Anunoby, over 20.5 points plus rebounds, -103, over at DraftKings.com. Play it or pass it.
Yeah, I like this one quite a bit. We played the, I think it was 21.5 PRA for Anunoby in game 2. That came through for us. And look, part of the reason that I like that number was that we saw, you know, a slight reduction in minutes for Anunoby in game 1. I think he came in around 31, 32 minutes, played closer to 37, 38 in game 2. And as the series goes along, even though the Knicks are getting production from their bench, I think they want to keep Anunoby on the court. You know, it's not out of the realm of possibility. It's actually fairly common where you see, you know, the top guys in a final series playing 40 plus minutes. So I think there is even some room for Anunoby to see a little bit more tick as this series goes along. You know, it's worth looking at the, you know, there's always an equation of like, all right, if this guy's gaining minutes, who's losing minutes? In game 2, that was Josh Hart. They had a pretty short leash on Josh Hart. Part of it was the foul trouble, but Anunoby, and Mikal Bridges were the two guys who did not see any sort of minutes reduction. I think that could continue. He's hit some huge threes in this series already, shooting it with a ton of confidence. You know, I'm thinking of game 1 where he, you know, jabbed a couple of times, buried a three in Victor Wembanyama's face. He's not just taking wide open looks from the corner when those come about. And again, he went over this number in game 2, Jeff, taking only 10 shots, added 4 rebounds, 3 assists in those 37 minutes. I think there's a little bit more upside as a rebounder for Anunoby. At some point, Karl Anthony Towns is going to get in foul trouble in this series. Maybe that happens tonight. So really, really like the over on the PRA, we're looking at points plus rebounds here for Anunoby, which is still totally fine, but I like the PRA even more. That number's at 22.5.
All right. Stephon Castle, we were just talking in the first segment about maybe him losing some playing time. This runs counter to like the entire run of the playoffs where you've been loving the Stephon Castle over assist props. It's at 6.5 again, -116. Play it or pass it.
Yeah, you know, this is a classic, the Lord gives his toughest battles to his strongest soldiers situation, Jeff, where we've done nothing but ride this over 6.5 for the last round and a half. And it's been built heavily on the back of the advanced numbers, which say that, you know, even in games where Castle's going over this number, the Spurs are not converting his potential assists at the same rate. He's gone way under now in the first two games of the finals, only 3 and 4 assists respectively in games 1 and 2. I was still encouraged after game 1 when he had 14 potential assists and the Spurs converted only 3 of those, but he dropped down to 9 potential assists in game 2. That is concerning. He lost some minutes in the second half and the fourth quarter of that game. The Spurs were still not really converting those potential assists at the expected rate. So that is still there, but I think I have to back off this one tonight, Jeff, due mostly in part to the idea that, you know, I think if they need to get more Dylan Harper on the court, Castle's probably the number one guy who's going to lose minutes, played under 5 minutes in the fourth quarter in game 2. So for the first time in a while, I'm going to pass on the over 6.5 assists for Castle.
Always hurt the ones you love. All right, real talk. Every week we sit here, break down the players, call the shots, tell you who's going to ball out this summer. And every week a bunch of you are in the replies absolutely convinced you can do it better. Fair enough. Here's your chance to prove it. Today's episode is brought to you by Sport.Fun, a free-to-play fantasy game built around the upcoming summer tournament. Pick the players you think are going to deliver, draft your squad, join leagues, and compete for a share of over $30,000 in prizes. 30K, free to play, no catch. And if you really back yourself, there's a pro version where you can play with real cash. Same game, higher stakes. We've set up an official RotoWire league on the free side, so you can go head-to-head with the rest of us and the rest of the listeners and settle this once and for all. Sign up at football.fun, join the RotoWire league, and back yourself. Think you can call it better than us? Prove it. Terms and conditions apply. Let's go back to game 3 tonight in Madison Square Garden. Karl Anthony Towns, over an 11.5 rebounds, -106. Play it or pass it.
This is the toughest one of the list, Jeff. I'm going to pass the over 11 and a half boards. Pretty appealing price at minus 106. Cat, of course, has gone over this number in the first two games of the series. He's been fantastic on both ends. And we'll talk about his potential finals MVP case with Alex Berutha in a little bit. But you have to think, even more so than it was going into game two, that attacking Karl Anthony Towns, trying to get him in foul trouble, at the very least making him uncomfortable, that has to be the number one priority if you're the San Antonio Spurs. Kat has been able to avoid the foul trouble even while guarding Victor Wembanyama. I thought the Knicks got a horrible whistle in game two and he was still able to dodge it. But man, again, I just think that has to be such a huge point of emphasis, keeping Karl Anthony Towns at bay, keeping him off the offensive glass. He has 7 offensive boards in the first two games of this series. I got to pass this one over an overwhelming abundance of caution with Karl Anthony Towns. I would love for him to prove me wrong, come out, have a huge game three, just as he's done twice already in this series. But I just worry about the history of Karl Anthony Towns in these type of matchups. I'm going to stay away from the rebound, staying away from most Towns props tonight.
All right. How about De'Aaron Fox? Over 14 and a half points, minus 123. Play it or pass it.
Yeah, it's a pretty doable number, I think, for De'Aaron Fox, who was arguably the Spurs' best player, probably their second best player. You know, I thought Victor Wembanyama, to me, caught a little too much heat. You know, you would think that he had like 8 points on 20 shots with the way we were talking about him coming out of game two. But De'Aaron Fox was really good. It was probably his best game, you know, in the last month in the postseason. So I'm inclined to lean over on the 14 and a half. Again, I think he has Mitch Johnson's trust a lot more than Stephon Castle does. Right now, it was Castle, it was Champagne who were losing minutes in game two. I think they need his steadiness as a ball handler. They certainly need him to turn the ball over less than he did in game two. He had 4 of the 16 turnovers for the San Antonio Spurs, but got to 20 points on just 12 shots in game two. Spurs had a 119 offensive rating with De'Aaron Fox on the floor. I think they have to continue to push that button. It is worth noting, Fox looked a little bit gimpy at the end of game two, so keep an eye on his status. You know, we'll have to see how he looks early in the game, but it's game three of the finals. It's a must-win game for the Spurs. He's going to gut it out. 14 and a half, even if he's a little banged up, that's an attainable number for me. We will play that one.
All right, Nick, got a little extra time, so we're getting a little far afield on this one here. Going to throw a surprise at you. RotoWire Smart Money, their favorite play that they've found so far, is a Jose Alvarado prop. Over 1.5 rebounds, getting it at plus 260. Play it or pass it.
So for the uninitiated, Smart Money is one of our tools over at RotoWire where it basically tracks sharp action. You know, these big bets coming in, often on props like this, where you're wondering like, all right, who's plunking down $700 on a Jose Alvarado rebounds prop? So encourage you to check that out, rotowire.com/smartmoney. I mean, Alvarado's got 7 boards over the last two games in 21 minutes played. And, you know, that kind of checks out if you know his game, right? We think of Alvarado as kind of this irritant on defense. You know, he'll hit some threes every now and then, but he's ultimately a dog. He's a guy who's going to dive into a crowd and go try to grab a rebound, kind of a mini Josh Hart in some ways. So it's definitely an off-the-wall prop. I like the price going into kind of a niche market for Jose Alvarado. Look, I think even if he only plays 11 or 12 minutes, that's probably enough for him to go over that. I'll ride it with you.
All right, there we go. There you have it there. Thank you, RotoWire Smart Money. Alex Berutha going to join us next, giving us his props and takes from the NBA Finals. Coming up next, this is Prop Points.
You're watching Prop Points on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back into Prop Points here on the Sports Betting Network. Nick Whalen, Jeff Erickson, hanging out with you. Game 3 of the NBA Finals, of course, coming our way from Madison Square Garden tonight. To help us go even deeper, we bring in one of our favorite guests, senior NBA editor for us at RotoWire, the great Alex Berutha, at Berutha Alex on Twitter, on X. You can also catch him on the RotoWire NBA podcast, the RotoWire NBA show, alongside myself on SiriusXM NBA Radio. Alex, a lot that we want to get to, including your full player prop card for tonight. But I want to start on something that we really haven't discussed so far on the show. We're, of course, only 2 games in, but we've seen a major shift in the finals MVP market, which was overwhelmingly shaded toward Jalen Brunson, toward Victor Wembanyama heading into game 1. Wembanyama still plus 390 despite the Spurs being down 0-2. But we have Jalen Brunson installed as the favorite at DraftKings plus 110. Karl Anthony Towns sitting at plus 170. Is there value right now on Cat? Is there a world in which, let's say, the Knicks win this series in four or five games and it does not go to Jalen Brunson?
I think there is value on Cat. It's not a ton of value. I mean, because, you know, we're talking about plus 170, right? But Cat's having an amazing series. You know, he's got a plus 25 net rating, basically. You know, Brunson isn't that good. But I think that the sort of argument for Cat is like, he might get it because his sort of play style change, I feel like, turned the corner for the Knicks as like a dominant playoff team. I think he could get some boost because of that, even heading into the finals. But also, you know, if Wembanyama, look, Wembanyama's averaging 28 and 10. Like, he's not having a bad series. The shooting percentages aren't great. But if you're Cat, you know, you're going to get a lot of credit here for holding Wembanyama back from efficient shooting and being able to score on him relatively effectively. I know Wembanyama's not always on him, but you sort of get that argument of like, well, you know, if Cat's playing close to as good of Jalen Brunson or as close to as important as Jalen Brunson offensively, and he's also having to deal with Wembanyama on the other end of the floor and doing a good job, then like, yeah, certainly that finals MVP argument is there.
Let's take a look at tonight's game. Game three going to be hopping in the Garden tonight. Let's start with Karl Anthony Towns. You like a PRA prop for him tonight.
Yeah. I mean, it's 33.5 as a PRA prop. He is just so involved offensively, like I just alluded to. And his rebounding has been great as well. I was a little worried about his rebounding coming into the series, thinking like, oh, you know, what if he's out in the perimeter dealing with Wembanyama and then he just kind of takes off down the court and Josh Hart flies in or whoever else. I mean, of course, Josh Hart is flying in for those rebounds, but Cat's really making a point of crashing for the boards. Even when he's out at the three-point line on the perimeter guarding Wembanyama, he just runs in and tries to grab the board. And then he's as involved offensively, basically, as anybody on the team. He is essentially as involved in Jalen Brunson in terms of just pure touches, you know, in the front court. They give the ball to Cat all the time at the top of the key, whether he's running dribble handoffs, whether he's pump driving, you know, kicking out to a shooter. He's grabbing offensive rebounds. Like, he is just, he's doing everything out there, which is partially why I like his PRA prop. I don't really see what is unsustainable right now about what Cat's doing. I know he's shooting 56% from the field, but it's not in crazy volume or anything. He's taking a lot of just like easy, clean looks.
Talking with Alex Barutha, senior NBA editor for us at RotoWire, picking through his card for game three of the finals tonight. I like a lot about what you said just now with Karl Anthony Towns and when we were talking finals MVP. I think that the two-way impact for Cat is going to be huge here. Jalen Brunson also shooting like 33% from the field in this series on extremely high volume. And you do wonder, you know, is that the plan for the New York Knicks? Like, if I'm the Spurs, I'm kind of happy with how Brunson has played so far in this series. He's hit some clutch baskets, of course, but, you know, if you told me, hey, he's going to take 56 shots, he's going to be wildly inefficient on those shots, I would not think I'm down 0-2 right now. I know something that both you and I have been interested in with Brunson in this series, Alex, has been the over 2.5 made threes. Getting this at plus 138 tonight. Are you willing to go back to the well on that prop?
I am, especially at that price, like significant plus money on this. I mean, in the series right now, he's 4 for 17, shooting 24%. I mean, that volume, I think, is going to continue to be there. I mean, you and I talked before, I think it was before game two, about how when Brunson got Wembanyama switched onto him, he just has a really good understanding of like, I'm going to get this three-pointer off. Like, I know exactly how much space I need to put between me and Victor Wembanyama to get a three-pointer off. It doesn't drive on Wemby that much, which is understandable. And really the way that the Knicks are playing offense right now, you know, Brunson's off ball a decent amount and is able to get himself into some catch and shoot three situations that should, you know, get knocked down. I mean, I think seven of his threes in the series are classified as wide open. He's getting plenty of nice looks. So I think he's due for a positive regression game. And I think it's just value on the number, you know, going to MSG.
Stick with one more Nick and Bridges, who's had a great series so far. Over 2.5 assists. It's a heavy price, minus 154 at DraftKings. But do you like the number enough that you'd want willing to pay that juice?
I am. Yeah. I mean, Bridges has the second most assists on the Knicks right now. He has 9 assists in 2 games, and he, look, I mean, obviously a lie has been made throughout his tenure in New York about like what he'll disappear, disappearing acts. Where is this guy? He's had a good final so far, man. And, you know, it's sort of the same argument that we're talking a little bit about with like Kat and Brunson and just like what's making New York's offense hum, which is just like the ball movement. You know, Kat's at the top of the key. Guys are flying off ball. Bridges will catch. He'll drive. He'll make a pass. You know, I think he's being really underrated right now in terms of just like his general involvement. You know, like his numbers are not gaudy, but 9 assists in 2 games, and that's a trend that had started even before this series. He was more involved as a passer. So I think, like, yes, obviously there's a lot of juice at -154. I know some books have 3.5 at plus money. Like that's totally fine with me too. I don't think that there's anything fluky about what he's doing right now.
Yeah, if you want to slide that up to the over 3.5, +135 is your price right now over at DraftKings. So I know you have one official play on the San Antonio side, Alex, and props to you. No pun intended. You did put me onto this ahead of game 2. We cashed it in game 2. We're getting another great price on Victor Wembanyama over 1.5 steals.
Yeah, it's +178. He's got 3 steals in the series. I think it's on, he's got 10 total deflections, you know, and generally those grade out at a rate of like, you know, 1 to 2. So it's like in theory, he's more on track for like 4 or 5 steals. And I think the way that they're playing him, look, he's not always at the rim protecting the rim. He's out in the perimeter sometimes. I think they're going to have to put him on Kat more to bother what Kat's doing as sort of a hub. And this is not like a great shot blocking series necessarily for Wembanyama, because these Knicks guys are not always attacking the rim. Like Brunson's going to get his in the mid range. Kat's going to be shooting from 3. Like, yeah, Hart's going to fly in and grab some offensive boards and just cut and try some layups. But this is not a team in New York that has to go to the basket. You have to disrupt them in what they want to do offensively. So Wembanyama, he has been so far, and I think he will continue to get his hands in passing lanes, be poking at the ball when Kat has it. Stuff like that. I mean, you know, as of right now, like you have to, we actually said this ahead of game 2, you have to force the Knicks into more turnovers. Like you can't allow them to just kind of continue to get what they want. They have 20 total turnovers in this series. That's a fantastic number for them. That just has to change. And I think Wemby has to be a part of that, just being more aggressive, trying to poke the ball out.
Let's pick the game itself here. Do you have an opinion on the line, which is vacillated between 1.5 and 2.5? Looking at the DraftKings Sportsbook right now, it's -1.5 for the Knicks at -115. Do you have a preference on that spread?
I mean, I think this is going to be pretty chalky, but I would take the Knicks. I just don't like the Spurs are staying in these games, but some of their execution, and look, maybe that can improve. I mean, that obviously has to be a big improvement here heading into game 3. There were points where, especially starting the third quarter in game 2, they were running in transition, but just forcing up horrible looks. You know, these are not like great transition opportunities, forcing up bad shots. They're still shooting a lot of these like early shot clock threes. I think their offense is just, they haven't run much great offense. And of course, like you have to give credit to New York for playing great defense and being a good switchable team and just like being disciplined. But I just have not seen a lot from the Spurs where I'm like, well, you know, those actions they're running, they're getting all these open looks and they're just not falling down. It's just, I don't feel like that's happening. And at this point, I just have a lot more confidence in the Knicks. Like I alluded to, I don't think anything in the series that's happening so far for the Knicks in terms of how well they're playing is unsustainable. They're probably going to turn the ball over more some, you know, the Spurs have to be more aggressive defensively. Spurs have their backs against the wall right now, but I'm just leaning New York. I'm picking them to go up 3-0.
I'm with you, man. I'm with you. I think the Knicks can play better than they have, specifically Jalen Brunson efficiency-wise through those first 2 games of the NBA Finals. Alex Barutha, everybody, you can find all of his great work for us at rotowire.com. Make sure you're following him on Twitter at BaruthaAlex. I'll give out my full card for Game 3 when we come back. We'll get Jeff Erickson's picks for an abbreviated Monday in Major League Baseball. More prop points coming your way in a few minutes. We'll be right back.
You're watching Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Football season is right around the corner, and DraftKings is bringing you their biggest best ball contest ever. We're talking a massive $20 million in total prizes, making this the largest best ball tournament in DraftKings history. And this year, not just one, but three players will walk away as millionaires. And right now, our partners at DraftKings are giving all customers a can't-miss offer. Draft one, get one. Enter a lineup in the $20 million best ball contest for just $25, and you'll receive a bonus best ball ticket to play again free for a share of $20 million, giving you a second shot to be crowned a millionaire. It's simple. Just draft your team once, no weekly management required, and let your top scorers automatically start each week. All season long, every breakout star, every clutch play, every touchdown counts towards your shot at a share of $20 million. Download the DraftKings Daily Fantasy app and enter a lineup in the $20 million best ball contest for just $25 to get a bonus ticket to play free for another shot to win big. That's two shots without ever setting your lineups again in DraftKings' biggest best ball contest ever. Draft one, get one, only on DraftKings. The crown is yours in partnership with DraftKings. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. 18 plus in most states. Restrictions apply. One per customer. Enter the Best Ball 20 Million Headliner Contest to get one bonus entry. $25 entry fee required. Reward expires at contest lock on September 9th, 2026. See terms at DraftKings.com/promotions. Sponsored by DraftKings. Nick Whale and Jeff Erickson back with you, wrapping up the Monday edition of Prop Points here on VSiN. So, Jeff, I've already talked about a few of my plays for tonight, but we'll get the full card out there. Game three of the NBA Finals. I will be joining our friend Alex Barutha on the over 1.5 steals for Victor Wembanyama. I think that is one of the better values on the board. Plus 174 at DraftKings, slightly better price. Plus 178 over at FanDuel, over in four of the last six games, at least one steal in nine straight. Talked about the points plus rebounds earlier in the show for OG Anunoby. I'm going with the over 22.5 points plus rebounds plus assists. He's had at least three assists now in four of the last five games. Not really concerned about him losing minutes, unlike Josh Hart. So I think we do see another high minute game for Anunoby. Still feel like there's some room for him to improve as a rebounder in this series. I think you got to look at Landry Shamet tonight as well, Jeff. I know it's been a Linsanity run for him, 21 of 31 from beyond the arc in his last seven games. He's gone over this number, 2.5 threes in four straight in six of his last seven. So we're looking at the alt market here, that over 2.5, plus 195 at the DraftKings Sportsbook. When you dig in on some of the shooting numbers for Landry Shamet, 18 of his 31 looks in that seven-game span I mentioned have been classified as wide open. Even though the Spurs know exactly what he's going to do when he's out there, he's hunting three-pointers. He just finds ways to get open. The ball movement continues to be there for the Knicks. So I will continue to ride Landry Shamet at that alt over 2.5 threes. And then one more on the Spurs side of things. Devin Vassell, over 2.5 threes. Barely cashed this one in game two. Hit a late three in the fourth quarter. But this is one we've been continuing to ride. He is the most consistent volume guy from beyond the arc for San Antonio. At least six attempts now in 13 of his last 15 games. That dates all the way back to the start of round two. He's averaging 2.5 makes per game in that span, 37% from beyond the arc. And he's another guy, Jeff, that I'm not too worried about losing minutes tonight because of what he brings on the defensive end. Played the entire fourth quarter for the Spurs in game two. Let's shift things over to Major League Baseball. We have an abbreviated slate, travel day for a lot of teams on this Monday. Still get some plays on the card, though, Jeff. Mariners O's in Baltimore, Emerson Hancock, Chris Bassitt on the hill. M's are favored on the road. Minus 131 is our money line price. Total is up at 9.
Yeah, and I struggled with this one a little bit here, too, because at first I wanted to get in on Emerson Hancock maybe and the under strikeouts play because he only strikes out 6.5 batters per nine on the road versus 10.8 in T-Mobile Park. The batter's eye, the viewing angle for hitters in Seattle has been always tougher. Strikeouts are always higher in Seattle. But that's accounted for in the line. Of course it is. You know, his strikeout prop is at 4.5. If I wanted to go to five, I'd have to play a pretty big price on that one there to slide it up to that. So and then try to bet it under. It's not going to work. So I looked at it a different way here. I'm more looking at this as a negative against Chris Bassett, who has been better at home, but is also coming back from a lower back injury. Hasn't been a great innings eater this so far this season. 5.27 ERA on the overall on the season, 1.63 WHIP. I'm just going to take the Mariners money line. I found it at 122 over at FanDuel, minus 122 over at FanDuel. So that's the best price I could find.
Red Sox Rays in the AL East. Rays have kind of fallen on hard times over their last few series. So we have the Red Sox as slight road favorites tonight. You're going to have to fill me in, Jeff, on what the Rays are doing on the pitching side. Looks like we'll have an opener for Tampa Bay. Connelly Early, your left-handed starter for Boston.
Yeah, exactly. And the Rays, they're 37-25, but as you alluded to, it hasn't been as good of a run lately. They've lost 7 out of their last 10, got swept at home by the Tigers last week. Run differential is only plus 7 so far in the season. So it implies that they're massively overachieving, and most of that has been at home where they're 21-9. The Rays they had Steven Matz going in this spot in the rotation until recently. They've decided to pull him from the rotation. Looks like it's going to be Mason Englert as the primary reliever. Going up against Connelly Early, Early's allowed 11 homers this season, 6 of them in his last 4 starts. So I'm going to try to play off of that, going with Junior Caminero at home, who has 1,007 OPS at home, 8 homers, 589 slug in that stretch. So we're going to go a home run prop for Junior Caminero, plus 450 over at BetMGM.
Got a fun pitching matchup in Yankees Guardians tonight. This one in Cleveland, Will Warren taking on Gavin Williams. You have a play on the total sitting at 8.
Yeah, I do. It's not all doom and gloom for the Yankees right now. I know they lost Aaron Judge. Their lineup isn't as strong. They weren't especially strong this past week, losing 2 of 3 to the Guardians and then splitting with the Red Sox. But they're tied for the 3rd lowest runs and allowed in baseball. They're really good at run prevention, 228. Runs allowed on the season. Will Warren, because of the way the schedules worked out for the Yankees this week, he hasn't pitched since a week ago Sunday. So he's well rested, should pitch well. He does pitch better on the road for the most part. Do worry a little bit about the walks with Will Warren a little bit. But Gavin Williams, meanwhile, has been lights out at home. 2.29 ERA, 0.99 WHIP. All this points to just betting the under on this one here. Under 8.0 minus 8.0 runs, so 8 runs, minus 118 over at DraftKings.
Phillies Blue Jays up in Toronto. This is a 7:07 p.m. Eastern start, a very exact time for first pitch tonight. Philly minus 175 on the money line tonight, Jeff. And you're wondering, why would this be? Why would they be such a huge road favorite? Why is the total 7.5? We got Christopher Sanchez on the hill.
That's right. He let a run in last time out, Nick. What a slacker.
Got
totally
blown
rude.
Up.
He's been awesome. The Blue Jays are actually a tough out for lefties. Typically, they're one of the very low strikeout rate against left-handers, so I'm avoiding the strikeout prop for Sanchez tonight. Patrick Corbin, though, on the other hand, I do want to have some fun with him. He's got a 15.8% K percentage. He's 1-4-7-3-1-1 in terms of the strikeout lines in his last 6 starts. So we're going to go that angle. Philly versus lefties don't strike out a ton, 22.3% of the time. So we got a Patrick Corbin under 3.5 strikeouts, plus 134 over at FanDuel.
Before we get to our best bets, Jeff, I do want to make some time for Brewers A's. We have a unique situation. It's a late start. Game is in Vegas. So the A's are playing their next 2 series at the AAA ballpark out in Las Vegas. We're seeing an elevated total, even with Kyle Harrison on the hill tonight. How much do we need to factor this into our handicap?
Yeah, this is fascinating. I could go on for this about 10 minutes if I were allowed to, but I am not allowed to, so I won't. But it's an extreme ballpark here. We're talking about the 2nd highest elevation in Major League Baseball, higher than Arizona, only Coors Field, which actually still dwarfs even Vegas in terms of elevation, though. But this ballpark has always played as a hitter's park for the PCL, which is a hitter's league. The wind's expected to be blowing out, but it is Kyle Harrison. Also, the Brewers are going up against a lefty today in Jeffrey Springs. Don't hit homers. They especially don't hit homers against lefties. Only 10 homers against lefties all season long. The team totals don't quite add up to the total either. 4.5 for the A's, 5.5 for the Brewers, but the total is 11. Not sure what to do with this. I'm going to go under on the team total for the A's at 4.5, minus 110 at DK. I know Greg Peterson's got an under on the total overall today as well. So, you know, just something's not quite adding up here.
Let's finish out with our best bets of the night, Jeff. What else you got for us in baseball?
I think it should be some high scoring game in Anaheim. Astros, Angels over 9, -110 at FanDuel. Jordan Alvarez over 2.5 hits plus runs plus RBI +101 over at DraftKings.
Alvarez now your second short shot for AL MVP. Bobby Witt, who, by the way, picked up a knee injury yesterday, currently your favorite over at DraftKings. I'm going to lock in that over 1.5 steals for Wembanyama, the over 2.5 threes for Vassell. You know what? Give me the Knicks to win and cover, move to a 3-0 lead in the NBA Finals tonight. That's going to wrap the Monday edition of Prop Points. We'll be back with you tomorrow. Money moves coming your way next.